Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Wednesday here on Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. And just today only, if you do email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com, you will get a personal reply from Dan the Man himself. So jump on that email and send Dan something, even if it's just hello. But ladies, no naked pictures. He's a married man. So remember that when you're sending those emails to sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Of course, being that it's Wednesday, the new blog went up this morning. The next one goes up on Saturday. So swing on over there and check that out. But, of course, there is content added throughout the week. So you want to hang out at sportstimeradio.com as much as you can. And while you're over there, go ahead and hit that link and follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could give that a like while you're over there, well, we'd greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
Yeah, I got carried away there. That was the extended opening to Sports Time Radio. So, and all right, you know, Dan, there's a lot of, I don't know, I guess to me it's funny stuff going on today. Like the first thing I saw this morning was Tony Dungy came out and said when he was the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts from, I think it was 2002 to 2008, maybe it was, they tried to, and sometimes successfully, stole the opposing team's signs. And now he said it wasn't cheating. Of course, the media experts out there believe it is cheating. Dan, I got to tell you, if you're playing a team sport and you're not trying to do this, there's something wrong with your team, isn't there?
Yeah, I think the only thing that bothers me with this is the fact that he tried to portray himself as this morally Christian guy. And, I mean, I guess it's all in terms of, what do you say, the art of war, essentially. But, I mean, I'll never forget after they beat the Bears in the Super Bowl, running into some random guy at a gas station pump who was a diehard Colts fan, handing me pamphlets about, you know, Christianity, Tony Dungy, and the Colts winning the Super Bowl. It's really odd. So, I mean, I kind of find that the integrity of his character to be a little, like, what are you doing there?
Yeah, well, I know outside of football, he is, you know, I believe Christian, you know, he has his strong beliefs. I don't know if that so much, you know, affects this, but I just thought it was hilarious when, you know, the media just kind of jumped all over it. You know, I mean, I believe they've been doing this in the game of baseball since the game started. You know, football now, you know, the minute they started hand signaling stuff in instead of, you know, running a new player onto the field to call the play, this immediately started. You know, anytime a hockey team tries to set up a playoff, a face-off, the other team tries to figure out what they're doing. You know, basketball, not so much anymore because it's basically just a one-on-one game. But, you know, when teams actually used to call plays and run plays, you know, the other team scouted them. They looked for tips and hints on, you know, what they were going to do. I mean, this is just part of the game, trying to give your team an advantage. You know, is it technically, it is cheating. You know, they're right on that if you want to call it cheating. It's something you're not supposed to do. But, Dan, is there a team out there that doesn't do it? Maybe the Cleveland Browns, that's why they were 1-15?
Yeah, I think pretty much done.
So yeah, I just that was kind of, you know, that was funny story number one for me today when I heard that today. I'm like, really? we're going to make an issue out of this. It's like, come on.
Well, and like you said, I mean, well, technically it's not cheating. You know, the signals aren't part of the rules, whatnot. Like getting an edge on your opponent is supposed to be the whole thing.
Yeah. You know, and I mean, obviously, stealing signals is different than, you know, attempting to listen to, like, your opponent's, you know, radio transmissions, what they use now, you know, the either the head coach or the offensive coordinator can talk directly to the quarterback, or, you know, there's one designated defensive player who has a you know, a transmitter in his helmet. They can't talk back, but they can hear. So, you know, if you were trying to, you know, steal the signal or something there, that's a whole different story. But if you're, you know, if you're ripping off hand signals or, you know, I know in college some teams hold up signs with goofy things on it for plays. You know, if hey, if you manage to figure that out and you can know what they're doing and you're better prepared than they are, you know, more power to you. You know, it's like a catcher in baseball who can't, you know, hide his pitch calls and his pitcher gets lit up for it.
Yeah, and I mean, even in baseball, it's part of the game. And if you're a pitcher on the mound and getting overly upset about the guy on second, I think they just need to get over it. I mean, how many times can number one get a bad ball figures it out?
Yeah, you know what I mean? There are, you know, ways in baseball that, you know, if you're stealing signs, you get upset by. I mean, like when the – oddly, it happened this year with the Tigers and the White Sox. The Tigers had somebody sitting in center field with binoculars stealing signs. And when Chris Sale got upset and threw at a couple guys, they tried to make Sale out to be the bad guy, but that's not the way you steal signs. You know, if you want to steal signs, either your third base coach picks them up or, you know, you get it, like you said, with a runner on second. If he can figure out the systems and how they're doing things, you know, then that's, you know, that's cool. That's part of the game. But to kind of blatantly sit out there and, you know, steal it with that, that's, you know, that's kind of crappy. Because, you know, I think because it's technology-based, I guess, is what we'll go with, even though binoculars aren't really high-tech. But obviously it gives you a, you know, a good advantage to seeing. So, you know, it's odd that even, you know, cheating has kind of a right and wrong way to do it when it comes to the games. So, but yeah, this wasn't as big a deal to me as a lot of the media members made it out to be, you know, and it doesn't taint their Super Bowl win. They were still better than the Bears, and, you know, that was just kind of, yeah, kind of funny. That was how my day started out. I actually had NFL Network on first this morning, and they were talking about that as soon as I walked in, and I was like, really, wait, there's people upset about this? Why? So,
yeah. Well,
you know because you played that Colts team and they beat you?
Like we talked about yesterday, he only had to do one thing. He didn't need to steal any Bears time. Just don't kick it to Hester.
Yeah, that's all you have to do. Just don't make sure, you know, make sure 23 doesn't get the football in any way and you're okay. Oh, and then funny story number two today, Dan. I heard this a little later in the day. Apparently, as the quote goes, Golden State Warriors owner Joe, I believe it's pronounced LaCobe. It might be LaCobe, but there's no vowel on the end. It's just LACOB. Was apparently hurt by a comment Michael Jordan made. You know, the NBA owners are having their collective bargaining agreement negotiations going on in New York City right now. So Jordan went to dinner with the Warriors owner, and apparently at one point in time, he leaned over to the guy and said, 73 don't mean blank without a championship. You can fill in your expletive, because I don't know which one he used there. And I don't know, you know, I've heard people kind of saying that this has portrayed Jordan as bitter because the Warriors broke the Bulls' single-season record. And what's weird here is, you know, Jordan fan or not, Dan, he's right. That single season win record, that's all it is without a championship. I mean, it means nothing. it's an odd asterisk in a record book now because you couldn't finish off the year.
No, and like we discussed, my discovery on eBay, the commemorative cap is retailing at $19.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and it's just the reactions are just so kind of weird. You know, it's like the guy being upset because that's what he said. It's like, you know, like one of the things, you know, the owner, the Warriors owner mentions, one of his quotes was, it says, I think that was one of the greatest years you could ever have in sport. All right, now the New England Patriots went undefeated one entire full season and lost the Super Bowl. Now, we don't talk about them as an undefeated team, even though they did have a completely undefeated regular season. The only undefeated team in NFL history is the 1972 Miami Dolphins. You know, it doesn't matter that the Patriots went on to win like 19 or 20 straight regular season games. You know, all that stuff went out. The fact that the Giants beat them in that Super Bowl ruins that season. The exact same things apply here, but because you couldn't close out the Cavaliers. And to be fair, I'll always side with the fact that I believe the referees in the NBA kind of conspired a little bit to stretch that series out and make sure they got seven games out of it. You know, but the fact that the Warriors couldn't close the deal, that 73 wins in a season doesn't mean anything. It's literally just a side note to last basketball season, the last NBA season.
Pretty much.
So, you know, and like, I mean, you know, like the owner called last season a success. You know, and okay, in a way, maybe it was. You got the back-to-back championships. That, you know, that's fantastic. Obviously, you want to win them. You know, the fact that you couldn't, you know, the fact that you couldn't close it out kills everything, you know, your team accomplished. You know, how often we talk about the guys that finish second, Dan?
Only when they're our team.
Yeah. So, you know, the only time I ever talk about a second place team is when it's one of my fantasy teams, because I'm actually shocked or surprised that my basketball team is hanging around or something like that. But yeah, when it comes to this, I mean, you know, when next football season rolls around, Dan, we're going to be talking about the Atlanta Falcons.
Not much. They somehow get a Monday night game.
Right. You know, but of course we'll be talking about the Patriots defending their Super Bowl title all year. You know, I mean, the big NBA story is, you know, LeBron wants all these players because he's trying to figure out if he can defend his title. You know, how often – this is the first I've actually heard of the Warriors and 73 wins, I think, since early in the season when people started talking about if they would try to do it again.
No, well, you know, that's one thing. If he's upset about it, why isn't he pushing for it again? And, I mean, it's easy for an owner to come out and say it's a success because – I mean, let's be honest, to the owner, the championship trophies always look good in the case to add up. I feel like the Cubs, you don't have one. Maybe they're building it now. But, you know, the success on his part is, you know, they won the regular season and they sold out all their games. And they were able to raise ticket prices for next year. And they'll be, I don't know if they're still in Oracle next year, or they're moving to the stadium that's going to be in San Francisco. So they're going to continue. I mean, yeah, it was a success, but they weren't the champions.
Yeah, you know, like you said, I mean, that should be his concern. You know, it's like, you know, why do I care about, you know, if you think it's a success, great. You know, that's fantastic for you. You know, I mean, most players or, you know, most owners and, you know, coaches, all that kind of stuff, don't really consider the season a success unless you win the championship. But hey, if that's good enough for you, if setting an NBA record for single season wins is good enough for you and losing in the finals, then man, your season is a success. Stay home and count your money, because obviously you got a whole hell of a lot more of it than I do. But yeah, I just, you know, in the weird part, I think the fact that, you know, he used the term hurt, and then people tried to play Jordan off as bitter, I think bothered me more than anything in the story. I mean, this is Michael Jordan, who is probably the most competitive athlete we've seen in our lifetimes. Are you surprised that he's not going to take this shot at a guy who had a team that was as good as some of the Bulls teams Jordan played on?
No. I mean, I would have simply turned to him. What round did you get knocked out in last year? That's all I would have said. I wouldn't have been upset.
Yeah, well, you know, that's what I would have asked him, you know, how many championships have you won as an owner? That's all I would have asked him.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's all you needed to say.
Well, you know, because
All right, Dan. Yeah. All right, here you go, Dan. Funky story number three. I don't know if you've seen this. But if you haven't, Dan, you will probably hear the name LaMelo Ball come up today if you're cruising highlights or doing whatever. He's actually the little brother of Lorenzo Ball, who goes to UCLA, where LaMelo has committed to. LaMelo scored 92 points in a high school game last night. And, you know, when I first saw this, Dan, the highlights they showed were very competitive. You know, he was driving to the hoop, you know, making layups. He was hitting jump shots. You know, his teammates were finding him for open threes. And I thought, oh, okay, this kid played just a fantastic game. Well, later on, I find out on one of the other highlight shows, he scored 63 points in the second half of this game and basically never crossed half court. He just basically stayed on offense the entire time. So he cherry-picked the entire second half. Now, that kind of jaded the 92 for me. How do you feel about that?
It's high school.
So, yeah, but I mean, I think you could have got 92 in high school if you'd only played on one side of the court, right? And they could have just thrown the ball down to you every time?
Yeah, and I think, it's, number one, it's high school. And number two, I think that shows his lack of, I don't want to say the word control, but guidance or any of that coming from the coach. And I think this is something that the entire team, the coach, and the school should be ashamed of.
Yeah, you know, and I know, I don't know the specifics. Somebody mentioned he had dedicated the game to a sick friend, and I don't know all the details behind that, so I don't want to completely bury the accomplishment. But yeah, the fact that you spent half the game only on one side of the court and you didn't have to play defense, and then I guess there was some questions where his team wasn't, they obviously, it was a blowout if he scored 92 points, but I guess his team was intentionally committing fouls so they could stop the clock because the other team was running their plays and kind of taking their time. So they started fouling them so there wouldn't be as much time taken off the clock so he could rack up, you know, even more points. And yeah, you know, the more I hear about it, it's just, yeah, the first thing that popped into my head was exactly what you said. You know, what kind of example is this coach? I mean, isn't this guy a teacher as well normally?
Usually.
So, yeah, I mean, I would hate for, you know, one of my kids to have to go to school with this guy because obviously he's a poor example of a leader. You know, and again, it's a high school game. I don't understand why you want to – and I know this is the new style of NBA and basketball, but – isn't this a bad example to set for kids?
It's a horribly bad example. I mean, I don't know the whole details on it, but, I mean, like you said about the second half, if the blowout happened in the first half, and this continued to happen, and I were on half of the team, or hell, if I was even on that team, I would have gone down, grabbed my son, I don't care which team he's on, and left.
Producer. Yeah, well, you know, and I got to tell you, Dan, and I don't mean this it's going to be negative, but I don't mean it. If this would have happened at any time when I was in high school and we were playing basketball, this kid would have got wiped out. He wouldn't have been able to score 92. He literally would have got taken out of the game. You know, somebody would have stood there with him at half court, and the minute he got the ball, he would have put him into the bleachers. You know, and I mean, you know, is that poor? I don't know. You want to call that poor sportsmanship? I don't know. However you want to describe it, but you know, you or you know, maybe not you, but you know, like I said, back when I played, you didn't let people show you up like this. This was a big deal back then.
You know, and I mean, kind of jumping topics a little bit. You kind of wonder if that's what you know the old guys and I'm. I don't mean anything negative about being old, but, you know, you throw up Charles Barkley and you know, guys of that generation and such. And, you know, maybe that's the point that they're trying to get across that they can't fully explain to where, you know, you just, like you said, you don't let another team show you up. You keep that competitive drive. I mean, if it's that big of a blowout, I don't care if it's high school or not. The referees, if it's something, you know, I would have called a technical on the fact that the kid never crossed the line. But again, I would have grabbed my child, whether they were starting or on the bench or whatever, and told them, we're going home. This is ridiculous. It's bad sports and like conduct from the coach that's allowing this to happen on both sides.
So, yeah, and I'm surprised we haven't heard more parent reaction. You know, I mean, if you get 92 points in the flow of the game and you're just rolling and, you know, you're hitting everything, I have no problem with that. You know, if you can score like that and you are that dominant, go ahead and be that guy. But yeah, if you know, if it's set up like this, then yeah, this bothers me that more than it probably should.
Well, you know, the other side of it too is to score 92 points. If he doesn't get drafted this year, what does it matter?
Well, he's just headed to you know, college. He's committed to go to UCLA with his brother.
Yeah, but you know, you kind of get my point though. I mean, scoring 92 points in high school, you should be above the game and not have to go to college. You should be able to go straight into the NBA. And
you have to put that in there. That's why all these guys go to college for 1 year, because you have to have at least 1 year of college basketball. Now that's why, you know, Derrick Rose spent a year at wherever he went, Memphis. Well, wherever he allegedly went, let's call it that way. You know, let's call it like it is, where he allegedly went. You can go overseas and play for a year and then come back and get in the draft. So
yeah, but you know,
I think the only kid who's done that is Brandon Jennings. So
yeah, but if he doesn't go to the NBA, you know, after his 1 year of college and win a title, who cares about 92 points in high school?
Yeah, you do wonder, you know, if anybody will remember anything about this when it comes to, you know, his time. And now I know he's got a brother that plays on that team as well, who apparently was out of last night's game, who scored 72 points earlier in the year. I don't know how, you know, how that was. I don't know if there was any, as you know, Dan would call it when he was on the playground, cherry picking involved. So, but yeah, it was just, you know, cause like I said, at first I thought this was cool. I was like, oh yeah, this guy had an awesome game. And, you know, they're showing the highlights and he's getting through defenders, making layups with, you know, both hands, either righty or lefty. And he's hitting threes. And yeah, then later on, they finally exposed the fact that, yeah, he was, you know, only cherry. He was basically cherry picked for half the game. So, Oh, man, that really killed it. That, you know, that I think that bothered me more than anything is for whatever reason, the first story didn't report that. I don't know why you leave out half the story, you know, on the Mickey Mouse Network this morning. It actually ended up being one of their other shows, you know, that came out and said, hey, you know, this is what really happened. So.
I don't know if that's how it goes. So kind of going back to your first story, just the name Tom Brady, you know, again, the talks, of course, Garoppolo coming to every single team that needs a quarterback. The Patriots are just going to trade him away. I mean, you know, people were taking a look at Brady's first half performance and kind of chalking it up to him being old and on his way out. Now, personally, his performance throughout the playoffs compared to Brett Favre's last, you know, playoff run, he got almost murdered by the Saints defense. It lacks a comparison whatsoever. You could definitely tell Favre was at the end of his rope, where I don't think Brady was. And then, you know, the testament, you know, it was brought up to the fact that when it comes time to training camp, will they even have Brady do anything? You know, which I doubt. You know, I think and they brought up the fact that he also had off the extra 4 weeks. So do you think that, you know, played into it? And, I mean, with that said, do you think – that maybe, you know, what are your thoughts on his age and his longevity, that stuff? And what about the possibility of maybe giving Brady, you know, a couple of weeks off and letting Garoppolo start a couple of games in the first few weeks just for the hell of it? You and I talk about the first 4 weeks of the regular season really don't mean anything.
Yeah, no, I doubt any team would ever do that, at least not right now. because I mean, teams have problems just giving guys, you know, days off when, you know, they're locked into playoff spots and stuff. So I doubt at the start of the year they would be like, well, you know, let's wait and, you know, do this kind of with their quarterbacks. But yeah, he's not hurt. You know, Brady hasn't had, you know, he had that one real significant injury that got all the rules changed in the NFL. You know, other than that, he really hasn't had, you know, anything major. As, you know, as long as he's healthy and, you know, he wants to play, there's no reason he's just not going to, you know, they're not just going to keep going. I mean, I think Mr. Fantasy and I have kind of decided that when Brady does decide to retire, Belichick goes with them. And, you know, the Patriots just kind of start all over from scratch. Yeah, you know, that wouldn't surprise me at all. But, you know, I would guess he's probably, barring injury, and, you know, you just never know. I mean, you know, guys get hurt in so many odd ways now. But, yeah, barring any type of serious or significant injury, he's probably got – 3, maybe even a solid 4 years left as an NFL starting quarterback. So, I wouldn't be surprised at all to see him or them or, you know, as a whole, just coming into the, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they got back to the Super Bowl again.
Now, here is something interesting that, you know, it's just kind of one of those theories that was brought up. Let's just say for some reason the Bears Patriots want to trade Garoppolo to Chicago. And, you know, the only thing worth giving them would be the draft pick. And then the Patriots turn around and draft a quarterback. Do you think that's at all a likely scenario?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it could be possible. I mean, if they trade Garoppolo, you know, obviously, unless they're sold on Jacoby Brissett as, you know, the next quarterback, they're going to need somebody. You know, the problem is, you know, the problem obviously doing it at number 3 is the same problem, you know, the Bears have is there's really not anybody worthy of that pick. Now, you know, of course, the you know, the Patriots have proven for many years now that they are much smarter than, you know, you, me, and everybody else. So if they were to step up and pick one, you know, would it be a surprise? You know, maybe not, but I would be a little shocked if they did that.
Yeah, now, let's say by the time the season, you know, rolls around again, the Patriots do trade Garoppolo, and they sell high. And I think they would sell high on the fact that situation last year. Do you question that? You know, on their end, like, hey, they're kind of getting rid of this guy. You question the ability or, you know, the future success rate for him if they do move him.
Yeah, well, you know, I think you have to. You know, I mean, he's the definition of unproven. He's got two NFL starts that he did very well in. But, you know, he hasn't proven anything else. And that's what kind of baffles me with these teams, you know, basically, you know, spanking it over him and, you know, him being the hot guy. But, you know, what has he done? And, you know, it's just weird how these teams get like this over guys.
But, you know, that was kind of my other thing, too, is what I didn't understand. And I don't know if you see it the same way, but is it actual teams showing interest, calling about him, or is it just media market that aren't happy with the guy they have, so they want their team to go after Garoppolo?
Yeah, you know, obviously we don't get all those reports right away on if a team, you know, especially in baseball, these kind of leak out. But for some reason, the NFL is always a little more tight-lipped. So it's mostly just these guys coming on here suggesting this. I mean, because you can look at, you know, the very top of the draft. The Browns probably need a quarterback. The 49ers need a quarterback. The Bears need a quarterback. Well, they have the top three picks. So it's like, oh, well, you know, Garoppolo should just go here for this draft pick. Okay, great. Well, if you add Garoppolo to any of these teams, they're not going to the playoffs with him. Why would you do that when you can get a guy, you know, a young lineman in the case of a couple of the picks probably, that you can have for 10 years and he can be a, you know, just a big stud as you start to rebuild your team? Because adding the quarterback for that top pick doesn't help anybody but the Patriots. And it makes me laugh when I hear these morons locally that, you know, the Bears have to go out and get Jimmy Garoppolo because we can't go in the next season with Jay Cutler as the quarterback. Okay, well, if you plug Jimmy Garoppolo in on this Bears team, how many games are you going to win? Five? Wow, that's an improvement. You know, I mean, how many are you going to win with Cutler? Four? Wow. Okay. You know, I hear the playoffs calling. You know, when you're one of these teams, and I think that's the problem these teams run into, you can't panic in this situation. You know, like everybody's got the 49ers taking a quarterback with the number two pick. You know, all you got to do is go back to last year and look at these two guys who went 1 and 2. There's a whole bunch of questions about Jared Goff now, who was the number one pick overall. And, you know, Carson Wentz did very well to start, and then the NFL figured him out. And the Eagles really struggled down the stretch. Now, the Eagles improved with Wentz, so you can at least give them that. The Rams weren't any better with Goff, but they gave up a whole lot to get these two guys. So you have to wonder, how long do you wait now before the Eagles are a playoff team or the Rams are a playoff team with these guys under center? Or would they have been better off just staying where they were in the draft and taking the best player available and going on with their lives like that?
I don't mean to be super negative, but I still feel like the Rams are one of those teams that I just, for whatever reason, I can't take seriously.
No, well, you know, they're becoming that. I mean, they're the Browns. You know, they're no better than the Cleveland Browns right now. You know, granted, the Browns only won one game, but the Rams aren't that much better. You know, the Niners were in the Super Bowl, what was it, 2-3 years ago? Maybe 4 now. you know, they're a joke now in the NFL. You know, and you just kind of look at it and you wonder, you know, especially with a team like the Niners, how does Colin Kaepernick go from a Super Bowl contending quarterback? And some people will tell you if they didn't have that long power outage that the 49ers would have won that Super Bowl because they had all the momentum. You know, how does he go from that guy to a guy a team can't wait to get rid of? So, yeah, it's just, you know, and you look, and I mean, you know, okay, Dan, we'll use the local team here since this is where we do this in Chicago here. They've had two drafts since they took over with this team, all right? The first draft pick they ever made was Kevin White. Now, you know, I went on record and flat out told you after they made the pick, this pick was going to suck. It was a horrible pick. Remember, Mr. Fantasy even called in to yell at me.
Yeah.
Obviously, that pick sucked. He's a bust. You know, we're never going to see Kevin White do anything in the NFL. Last year, their first-round pick was Leonard Floyd, who doesn't really have a position in the NFL. He's not big enough to play defensive end. And he's not quick enough to play linebacker. Now, he did manage to get – I think he led the team in sacks, but that's not saying a whole lot. The Bears stunk. Maybe down the road he's a pass rush specialist. But this is a guy you took at, I think it was 9 or 10. You know, you're looking at an impact guy in those kind of positions, and it's really like, this team doesn't know what they're looking for when it comes to these kind of things. And, you know, you just wonder, I mean, now they're sitting at 3. Obviously, they're going to have a whole bunch of choices, you know, sitting here. So, you know, I mean, how confident are you they're making the right one?
Not really. I mean, I'm not even a football guy, yet even I realize that if they were going to go for a quarterback, it should have been 2 or 3 years ago. Because you obviously don't want this kid jumping up. You don't want this kid just jumping up and, you know, playing right out of high school or college or whatever. So you draft him and develop him in your system. And I don't... There hasn't been a guy. They haven't drafted anybody. They're not developed anybody. All they do is keep rehashing, you know, guys that could have been or that are great backups.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, and, you know, like, you know, last year, you know, to be fair, there really wasn't a quarterback to take it, that pick. So I give them credit for not doing that. You know, this year is the same thing. You know, there's not a quarterback at 3. Jimmy Garoppolo is not worth the 3rd pick in the draft. You know, everything I've read so far says it looks like the defensive lineman, I think his name is Jonathan Allen from Alabama, is going to be available. You know, he looks like the guy you could build your defensive line around for years to come. Will that be that their pick? I mean, who knows with this team? You know, you really can't tell. You know, they're difficult to predict. It's you know this is what they need, but will they take it? Who knows?
Well, not only that, I mean, anyone in Chicago radio, it's like I get it. You've got to do what you can to cater towards the fans and, you know, get people to listen to you. Which, I mean, let's be honest, Big Jack. You know as well as I know, what would you say about 75% of those guys, if they did what we did, nobody would listen to them. They're being listened to because they're on, you know, syndicated radio in Chicago. You know, for me, I would think that these guys would be doing their homework, doing some digging, giving us something more substantial than, well, the Bears need to draft a quarterback and a quarterback or a safety. So, it killed me because they have Kyle Fuller, who, you know, had played great when Pino was here, but then I think the injury kind of fell off. So that's the only guy they know and they talk about. And then they're like, well, he's not doing as well, so now we need a new version of him. You know, I just, it's like, I don't know. They just pick the easy topics to go by as opposed to actually breaking the team down. Granted, I don't listen to them more than, you know, 15 minutes in the morning, but at this point in my life, but when I was driving and spending more time listening to local, they never broke teams down. You know, the closest thing that I seen to a breakdown was when, you know, the motherships, our local former Bear Tom Waddle and company, decided to go back over the last 10 years and look at the draft picks between the Vikings and the Bears. And it was funny because all of the Vikings draft picks were on their team except for Percy Harvin.
Yeah.
And Christian Pond.
Yeah. Well, you know, you can look at it. I mean, the Bears are sitting at number 3. Now, you know, just the first kind of sets of mock drafts are coming out. It appears the best player in the draft is Myles Garrett, who's a defensive end from Texas A&M. He's the guy who grades out the highest right now. So it looks like he's going number 1 to Cleveland. You know, Cleveland's in a boat very much like Chicago. You take the best player because you need help everywhere. San Francisco at number 2. Now, everybody seems to think they're going for the quarterback. So with the number 2 pick, Dan, they're going to select the 28th rated player in this draft. All right. Now, you know, you and I were just talking about it the other day, comparing it to baseball. Mr. Fantasy and I have the number 2 pick. We were trying to decide between Jose Altuve, Mookie Betts, and Chris Bryant. We're using the number 2 pick to decide between the second, third, and fourth ranked player in the draft, not the 28th. So you're going way down to take a guy at number 2. That leaves the Bears sitting there with the second best rated player on the board at the 3rd pick in the draft. Stupidity to pass this guy up, right? But Kevin White was a huge reach when they made it. I believe last year, I think Cody Whitehair was a second round pick. Leonard Floyd was a bit of a reach. You know, they seem to have a little different system than everybody else goes by. So do they have Jonathan Allen rated that high, or, you know, would they take a defensive back? I think the top rated one I've seen is Jamal Adams, because the other guy whose name I just want to hear announced, Malik Hooker, I believe he just had surgery. But, you know, these guys are rated 4 and 7 on board. So I don't get this team.
Well, and here's the thing that I don't understand for the life of me. You know, you of course mentioned Mr. Fantasy's thoughts on Kevin White, and I bring to you the thoughts of a 40-year season ticket holder who, after I spoke to you first, and then I spoke to Uncle Bob, who sits in on, you know, this is a retired man. He doesn't have to do anything if he doesn't want to. And he'll sit in on the season ticket holder's phone call. It's a conference call, and it's like hours long. He sits and listens every year. He says he doesn't always say stuff. He might chime in. He's like, it's kind of hard to. But he listens. He is all about the Bears. Yet when I asked him about issues with Kevin White's legs, he's like, oh, no. He's fine. You know, gave me this whole breakdown, more or less like what you said, Mr. Fantasy said. And then what happens? I mean, if I were Mr. Fantasy, I probably wouldn't, but I'd have to call you up and say, you know, if you can understand me right now, you know, translating my mumble, that means you were right. And I don't know why anyone didn't see that. I don't know how anyone didn't see that. When you saw it, you were there. Well, you weren't physically there, but you know what I mean.
Yes. So, yeah, you know, now, the weird thing with this Bears team is later in the drafts, they've actually been finding guys that are, you know, productive NFL players. I mean, people may forget Jordan Howard had a great year. He was a 5th-round pick. You know, the year before that, they found another running back, Jeremy Langford, in the fourth round that was very productive. You know, they had a fifth round safety, Adrian Amos, who I believe has started every game for them since he's been drafted. So, you know, they have been managing to find guys really late. And you just wonder what goes on that they can find them in the, you know, the fourth and fifth rounds. But when it should be obvious and easier, they can't find the guy.
I mean, do you think they panic?
Yeah, no, I don't think that. I think it's just that whatever system they have in place just doesn't work. You know, or they're, you know, it could be a case of they're drafting pieces for a team they think they are. You know, like Leonard Floyd, especially the Leonard Floyd draft pick last year, a pass rush specialist on a four-win team doesn't mean anything. You know, and now to be fair, you know, the draft wasn't all that strong last year. There weren't a ton of guys after Leonard Floyd that made huge impact. You know, maybe an offensive lineman or two they could have taken instead. So maybe he was the best pick on the board. Maybe he wasn't. Maybe they thought that was their biggest need. And, you know, who knows? Maybe I believe he came out a year or two early. Maybe he'll grow into his NFL body and he'll become a player. I mean, obviously, these are a whole crap load of maybes. And with a first-round pick, you don't want that. You want the tag, can't miss. And the Bears haven't found those guys yet. So, yeah, you know, it's just, you know, one of those things. And, you know, now the Browns have a chance. You know, they acquired, you know, a bunch of draft picks. You know, the question now becomes, can you do anything with them? So, you know, we'll see, you know, can they, is their sabermetric technology going to work? You know, that's the big question now.
I was going to say, is there a formula for war for college players?
You know, I believe there is. I haven't seen it yet, but I thought I actually heard someone talking about it on the NFL Network the other day. I don't know if they were applying it to college players or the pros, but I did think I heard the term come up. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. And obviously, you know, we got a boatload of time to talk about this because the draft is about, I thought I saw, 77 days away. So this will be, you know, beaten to death. Luckily, we're going to get spring training starting here real soon. So we'll be able to have a little bit alleviated by that, or otherwise it's just going to be big, huge, too much garbage overload. So,
well, one last question on the draft, because this is very important and I need to know. Did they re-sign for Chicago?
No, they're in Philadelphia.
Now I don't have to take any days off of work.
No, you should be okay. But I did see this story, Dan, and I knew you would be very excited about this. All right, and you know, I saved it because I wasn't sure if you'd known, and I wanted to hang on to it. But your guy, I know you still have the shirt somewhere, Brian Wilson, is looking to make a major league comeback. But are you ready for this, Dan? As a knuckleballer. No, as a knuckleballer, he has taught himself the knuckleball, and he is looking to come back, Dan, as a starting pitcher.
Yeah, that's what I just said.
Yes. So, you know, now he hasn't played in the majors in the, you know, the last two seasons. You know what, his last stint was with the Dodgers in 2014. He's appeared in 394 career games, but has made zero starts. So how excited are you for this transition, Dan? You think somebody gives him a look?
The Angels?
Yeah, you know, is there a pitching poor team out there enough to say, hey, what do you got?
Well, no, I just, the only reason I really threw the Angels out was, you know, because they picked up Tim Lincecum. I mean, to be honest, take both these guys and if you consider them like a tag team, I think you got a pretty solid starting pitcher for seven innings, maybe eight.
Yeah, it's interesting to see, you know, because obviously he can't get by on the knuckleball alone. You know, he's not going to be able to do it with just one pitch. So you got to wonder what else he has. So, you know, because obviously, he's not going to blow people away anymore. Remember, that used to be his thing. You know, he could just go out there and bring it with, you know, Dan and his Fear the Beard T-shirt and all that stuff. I don't think, we're probably not going to see that anymore. You know, does he have enough breaking stuff or other, as they would call, garbage to get by for 5, 6, 7 innings in a major league game?
Well, if he's coming out and saying he's a knuckleballer, I mean, I don't think you anticipate anything more than 5. And if you do, yay.
To be fair, it's not a lot of stress on the arm. You know, these guys can pitch forever. You know, Charlie Huff pitched, I think, till he was 45, as
Jamie
a knuckleballer.
Moyer,
you know, Phil Negro pitched, right, you know, Phil Negro pitched into his, you know, his 40s. You know, I believe R.A. Dickey is 41 or 42. So, they can go if, you know, given the opportunity, but I just wonder about the effectiveness of anything else he could throw.
I don't know. That's why I think it's a little of a stretch to be a starting pitcher.
I knew you'd get a kick out of that, and I figure he'll be your last pick in the draft this year, just in case, right? So. But yeah, speaking of that, you know, the draft, Dan, make sure you mark Homer Bailey down as injured because he's having surgery again for the Reds, and it looks like he's going to start the 2017 season on the DL. I think he's made 8 starts since they signed with that $108 million deal. So that was then you wonder why the Reds are rebuilding. There you go.
Oh, yeah, you know, I forgot about that.
because he never pitches anymore. A couple of, you know, minor baseball stuff. The Giants did sign Gordon Beckham to a minor league deal with an invite to spring training. The Twins signed 2 players, reliever Craig Breslow and outfielder Drew Stubbs to minor league deals with invites to spring training. And then Dan, Javi Lopez finally called it quits, the Giants reliever. You know, won 4 World Series titles, 1 with the Red Sox, 3 with the Giants. Gonna pack it in. I think he's 40. So no more Javi Lopez.
Oh, that's too bad. Good for him. 4 World Series. Oh. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Yeah, he was, it was weird because he was just the lefty specialist. You know, you come in, you get a guy out, and then you're done. What better job could you have? You know, it was like the perfect outing, but. You know. All right, Dan, we're going to see if we can get you to bounce back a little bit. You did struggle. You went 1-2 last night. Only your Washington Capitals came through for you. You know, everybody else, choked it off. Well, the Mavericks, they did get beat on a last-second shot, so you were close there. But let me go over the NHL schedule for you first, Dan. We got the Chicago Blackhawks at the Minnesota Wild. And that's the NHL schedule for tonight, Dan. Who you got winning that game?
The Chicago Blackhawks.
Now, you know, the Wild, I believe, have beaten the Blackhawks 7 straight in the regular season. So you've got the Blackhawks ending that streak tonight, huh?
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, I literally wasn't kidding. I know I was joking with Schaubert Stu about it. That is the only hockey game tonight. You know, it's the Rivalry Wednesday game, of course, on the NBC Sports Network. That's it. Blackhawks Wild. There's nothing else on the NHL schedule. So there you go. The NBA, a little more fuller. We have the San Antonio Spurs at the Philadelphia 76ers. The Spurs currently lead that game 17-9. The Cleveland Cavaliers are at the Indiana Pacers. The Pacers currently lead that game 17-14. The game's not started yet. The Washington Wizards at the Brooklyn Nets. The Denver Nuggets at the Atlanta Hawks. The Los Angeles Lakers at the Detroit Pistons. The Miami Heat at the Milwaukee Bucks. The Phoenix Suns at the Memphis Grizzlies. The Utah Jazz at the New Orleans Pelicans. The Toronto Raptors at the Minnesota Timberwolves. The first game on the Mickey Mouse Network tonight has the LA Clippers at the New York Knicks. The second game features the Chicago Bulls at the Golden State Warriors. And then the wrap-up in the NBA has the Boston Celtics at the Sacramento Kings. Dan, we're going to this Miami-Milwaukee game here. The Heat is on, and I believe it's 11 games now in a row. You know, the Bucks have been kind of up and down, but they do get Chris Middleton back tonight. You got Milwaukee snapping Miami's streak tonight, or you got the Heat rolling to, I believe, 12?
I hate betting against streaks. You know that. So I'm going to say the Heat bring, well, they bring the Heat to Milwaukee.
Yes, well, it is getting colder here. You know, the temperature is going to drop. So I did hear -5 with the wind chill, so they need some heat in Milwaukee right now. And then, all right, Dan, we'll give this one a shot, even though I think it's a pretty obvious pick. The Bulls, they're on their fourth game of their six-game road trip out west. They have 1-2 of 3. A little tougher tonight. They're going into Golden State. Now, they have won out here in recent years. You got them managing to get a win over Curry, KD, and the Warrior crew, or you like the GS Dubs here?
No, I think the Warriors have something to prove just for no reason at all, just to get their owner happy.
So you're picking one Chicago team and picking against the other Chicago team, right? It could be, you know. Yeah, you know, I think it's obviously Golden State is a huge favorite going in, and I would be quite surprised if the Bulls manage to, you know, to go in there and get a win. Especially, it looks like Jimmy Butler isn't going to play again. So, you know, that's going to make it even tougher on this Bulls team. But, you know, you never know. They've been playing good. You know, the NBA is so damn weird sometimes. You know, you just wonder, you know, who's actually going to show up and how it's going to work out. But I think you made a pretty solid choice there with that.
Yeah, but you know what always happens when I do that? Whenever you have me pick both Chicago and I pick opposites, pick one of them to lose. That's the one that wins and the other team loses.
Yeah. So, yeah, well, you know, it's a tough call with the, you know, the Blackhawks tonight. Like I said, I mean, they have lost 7 in a row to the Wild. So it's, you know, they're going to have to play better, you know, and they need the win here because, you know, the Wild's ahead of them in the standings, but. Will you be up late enough to see any of the Bulls team with that 9 o'clock start?
Ooh, maybe a period.
All right. If I won't be, the music Dan and I are taking off, but we're coming back tomorrow live at 5:30 to do it all again. You know the deal while we're gone. SportsTimeRadio.com. Check out the new blog that went up this morning. While you're over there, follow the link over to the Facebook page and give that a like. Of course, jump on and follow the Twitter feed at SportsTimeRadio. Now, Dan's picks come up there. Or get them at Dan's D-Man. Remember, there's 3 E's in that. He likes the Blackhawks to beat the Wild in the NBA. He's going with the Heat to keep their winning streak over the Bucks tonight. And he's got the Warriors beating up on the Chicago Bulls. So get on that Twitter feed. Let Dan know what you think. As always, thanks for listening. And don't forget, you can get the podcast anytime you want now at